We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. It is Take a Stand time. I'm Dustin Hockensmith with my combatant here, Greg Pickle. Jim Galante jumps on the mic with three topics to give me and Greg, and he's going to rig it so Greg's the winner, and it's the story of my life, I guess.
There is no need to rig it, Dustin.
You're behaving like my father, Jim. I'm always the lesser one.
Okay.
We're also unearthing old childhood wounds here.
Yeah, we are. But at least you're self-aware, Dustin. Yeah. That's good. All right. You ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's have Greg go first. So, first question. Greg, what would it take for you to consider this a successful season for Penn State? And you could use any kind of parameter you want, number of wins, division title. The over-under, I believe, is 9.5 wins.
Yes.
What would it take for you to call it a successful season?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the over-under thing, because I was just reading VSiN, the Vegas Sports and Information Network's preview on Penn State. They have the under, and they write, even happy-go-lucky Penn State optimists would find it difficult to go through the schedule and come up with a result better than 9-3, because their idea is that they host Ohio State, Michigan State, and Wisconsin, but they do not, the VSiN does not foresee them sweeping those games. So, to me, I'm a little bit on the side that I believe Penn State's going to be at its absolute best in the Franklin era next season. With even though you lose Trace, everything else is in line, and you're going to have what is supposed to be a very good quarterback in Tommy Stevens. So, you know what? To me, a successful year this year would be in line going into November for a Big Ten title. Now, look, the month of November may not go the way Penn State wants it to, but I think if they're in line, they've obviously tackled some tremendous challenges by that point in the schedule. So if they're in line but it doesn't work out and they still finish with double-digit wins, that would be, of course, a 9-3 regular season and a bowl game win. I think Penn State fans should be pretty happy with that. I know there's many out there that won't be, because they think with Trace McSorley and all the talent the Lions have, that pretty much a Big Ten title and a college football playoff spot is sort of the what this season should be about. I think there's too many question marks, though, to be confident in that. So to me, be in line for the title, and maybe you do win the division, but at least be in line to win it in November and then get to 10 wins with the bowl game if you can't get into the Big Ten playoff or a Big Ten title game in the college football playoff. To me, that's a successful season. Dustin, what say you?
I'm going to say 10 wins. I didn't really have a benchmark until you were gone. But to me, that means if you win 10 games, and this could maybe indicate of Penn State making that transition into spoiled fan base territory, which all fans of all good teams really are spoiled. But to me, that means you took care of business against all the teams you should beat. It also means in that 5-game stretch, that's Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, Michigan, Wisconsin. That's looking at the key 5 games of the schedule. It means you went 3-2 in those games. And I think 10 wins says that you took care of all the business that you needed to take care of. It means that you were ready to play against Ohio State and Michigan State pretty early in the season. That Ohio State game, September 29th, when you're really breaking in a new offensive coordinator, you're looking to redefine the offense in the absence of some of your best playmakers last year. It means shoring up your defensive tackle and linebacker spots and breaking in new starters at safety. It means that you were ready, and you did a good job of doing that. You have the bye week between Ohio State and Michigan State. So I like for them to win one of those two games. It helps that I don't have a super high opinion of Michigan State. I also believe that all the issues, you can focus on glass half empty, all the issues that Penn State has to answer, all the questions they have to answer. If you can play really sound football at the quarterback position and rush the passer in this day and age, you have a shot. Penn State can do those things. I'm really confident in their ability to get after the passer and for Trace McSorley to kind of smooth out all the potential trouble spots. I think 10 wins to me is a successful season. 9-3 is nothing to shake a stick at, but 10 wins would be a success.
So we're not mentioning college football playoffs as a standard for a successful season.
In a lot of ways, this is a maybe not a rebuilding year, but a reloading year.
I think that's good. I would have said a New Year's Six bowl game, which probably would mean Penn wins. The playoffs, I think, is too random. I'm actually going to give the point here to Dusty
because the first point.
He actually did the whole season, not stopping at the beginning of November.
Hey, I'm just saying.
I said the season, not.
You get through that October stretch, and you have a shot in November, I think, for Penn State. If you don't get through the October stretch, then what, you know, if you lose twice in that five game stretch in October, then you have no shot to Big Ten.
You know, if they lose to Appalachian State and Pitt in September also. So we could take this anywhere. You lost the point. Don't keep fighting.
At the risk of losing my point by speaking more, I just don't agree with whoever the Vegas review was that you have to be this absurd optimist to think Penn State gets the 10 wins. I just don't think that. I think to say that is to give just a ton of credit to Michigan State, Michigan, and Wisconsin. They're all good teams, but Penn State's a good team too.
And the fact that out of those five tough games, four out of the five are being played at Penn State. It's been a while since they've lost a game there also, so I think there's a great advantage. All right, let's go on to question number two. This one we're veering way off, but gentlemen, Stone Hollenbach. We all know who he is.
Yeah.
Quarterback for Southern Columbia. He committed as a preferred walk-on at Alabama. I think that has something to do with his high quarterback, pro-style quarterback. He's ranked number 135. So why would Alabama not go after him? Think this has anything to do with Julian Fleming, five-star wide receivers coming out next year. Do you have any problem with Alabama doing that? Obviously angling for the five-star wide receiver. And do you think Penn State should have done the same kind of thing? Starting with you, Dusty.
I don't have a problem with that because that's just gamesmanship to the umpteenth degree. I mean, that's what you do as a program, especially as a program looking to go into a faraway territory. Those are the tactics you have to use. I don't know if Penn State needs to deploy those tactics because there's 100 other priorities on Julian Fleming's list that they could probably check off that box, including playing close to home. Julian Fleming did put out his top five, was it? Top six?
Yeah,
Alabama was not on there, so he pulled it back, I think largely because of the Ohio State situation, but Alabama's not out of it by any means, the relationship with Josh Gattis. I just think that's what you do. You can have a billion walk-on quarterbacks on your roster. If financially you can afford to have another locker, another uniform, whatever, that's what you do. So I don't have any issue with it. I think in the end, I just don't have a lot of confidence that these kind of tactics really tilt the recruitment of a player. I think Julian Fleming would love to play with his high school quarterback somewhere, but he'd also love about 100 things more than he would love more than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a situation where, and we don't see it a ton in college football, but you do see it for sure, is that Alabama watched this kid camp because of Julian Fleming. They watched his tape because of Julian Fleming. And schools take walk-on quarterbacks all the time. Now, Alabama probably hasn't taken too many from Pennsylvania, but to me, I don't even know if it's a ploy. Of course, it started as a ploy about Julian Fleming, but if Alabama felt like it wasn't going to get Julian Fleming, and I don't think it has any reason to think it's going to right now, and it didn't want to take this kid, it just simply would have said no. So I think they liked the quarterback as a walk-on option more than – that has more to do with it. The actual Stone Hollenbach himself has more to do with it than the pursuit of Julian Fleming does, because again, there's no reason to think Alabama has a shot at Julian Fleming because there's been no indication. It seems to be, to me anyway, an Ohio State Penn State race. So Alabama easily could have felt that way, and they should, and just said to this kid, no, we don't want you. But they saw something in him between his tape and his camping at Alabama that makes them want to give him a shot. So we don't know if Penn State did the same thing or not. I suspect they probably did, but at the end of the day, I think it has more to do with the quarterback than it does the receiver that he throws to it as a five-star.
I find that hard to believe.
Okay. I lose again.
They also have two four-star commits at quarterback Alabama this year. Dustin, grudgingly, I'll give you that point.
That means for 3 minutes and 20 seconds, I could take a nap. Enjoy, you guys. See
you. I'm going to make the final question worth 3 points, though, to make things interesting. All right. Here's the big question. You have been made king of college football. So, of course, as king, that means you could change what whatever you wanted about the game. And let's start with you, Greg. What would you change about the game if you were named king?
Wow, that's a really good question. I would change the commercials after kickoff that come after commercials after a touchdown. I know this gets right to your heart, Jim, so I'm expecting all 3 points and a victory here. But no, I mean, I think like, so the fan experience, so the media is at the game, but it's a little bit different for us. A, we're working, and B, we're typically insulated from the conditions, whether it's raining, cold, hot, whatever. But I just think it's wrong that you want people to come to the game and you continue to do all of these things that try to make the in-stadium experience more appealing than sitting at home so you can continue to sell more tickets. And then you just spit in the face of the people that are there by making them sit through endless commercial breaks and they stack them on top of each other. So if I was the king, that was what I would do.
I'll tell you what I would do. Pay the freaking players. End the charade. Coaches are, you know, we're having assistant coaches in the seven figures now. And it's not to say that these aren't important positions, that these guys don't work hard and all that stuff. And I know it's just part a really important organizational arm of a university. I get it. But at the end of the day, these are the kids who are out there for 13, 14, I guess upwards of 15 games, putting everything out there, risking injury. And they're doing, you know, all the physical labor. And the scholarship is great, but they deserve to get a chunk of a huge portion of revenue that's out there. I think it's well beyond time that they get some portion of that revenue. It's absurd now, the amount of money that's flying around from all parties, bowl games, coaches, bonuses for people, you know, let the players get a piece of it. It's a charade to call it amateur athletics.
Would you pay them all the same amount or would you pay the stars more money?
I think, you know, there's a nuance to that conversation. Letting athletes be paid is not necessarily saying the university's handing money. If you have marketable skills, let them market their skills. That falls under the umbrella of getting athletes paid.
I mean,
and that would kind of answer your question about if you have marketable skills, it probably means you're a prominent player.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how my take on your take really matters in this particular game of take a stand. But yeah, to me, I think you keep giving them the stipend, which is sort of like paying them. Maybe it's you and increase it some, but then you let the Saquon Barkleys of the world who can get an endorsement deal do that, and you let the guys that have, like you said, the marketable skills go get the extra money, and the guys that aren't, well, they're still getting something for being, and a free education for being a part of the Penn State football program or whatever you have. So Jim, you got 10 seconds to pick a winner.
Greg wins 3-2, let me guess.
He worried about the fans. 3 points to Greg for that.
As many points as it needed for Greg to win this competition, he was going to get in that round. Anyway, let's take a stand where I'm always the loser. You're always the winner when you follow along with us. KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Go check out the Keystone Sports app. Until then, we'll see you next time. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
It's time to own summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't-do-this-anywhere-but-Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light-loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.